Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
I want to get down in the outback. I want to wear my hat and my boots.
Oh, amazing country out there.
I know. Have you been to the States?
I have. In my 20s, I spent 6 weeks in the States, jumping on planes, traveling all over, doing all the main things.
What's on your life list now? Where do you want to travel to? Where haven't you been that you want to go?
I do want to travel around Australia for a year and just get a caravan. Take my time. I also would like to go to Canada and Alaska.
Well, let me tell you, I've been to both. I used to work in Canada. That was my territory. And Alaska, you will be forever changed. You will be forever changed. The way that people live and the Native Americans and the Russian influence and the wildlife, oh my God, It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Go in the summertime too, because you only get a few hours of darkness as summer solstice, and it is incredible. So we are here on the Edge, brains. You know, your favorite spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp. Oops, wrong finger. And the responses are never dull. Today we have Sarah Hudson from Melbourne, Australia. Sarah is a money-minded business coach. She's run several businesses. She's the mother of four. She's adventurous. And we're going to have a grown-up conversation. You know, what women should do. When you get to a certain point in your life, you know, you have zero tolerance for nonsense. And you are looking forward to your golden years. But all of that is based upon the life that you've had previously. And she's had a little risky life. So we're going to talk about that and then some. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Sarah Hudson?
Good morning. I am fantastic. Thank you. And thanks for having me here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Look at that. You got your vision board in the back.
I have. It keeps me focused on what I'm doing, for sure.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because see, I got a different perspective on vision boards. What inspires your vision board when you get down and get with your magazines and your clippings and your markers? What's your process for creating that vision board?
Well, I really just think about the things that I want to achieve in my the rest of my life. I have had a really big life. I'm really fortunate to have been able to achieve a lot of things that I've wanted to do. I'm 57 now, and I still have got so much inside me that I want to get out. So for me, some of the things are recreational, and some of the things are about creating a legacy as well. And family's really, really important to me, spending time with my kids, spending time with my aging parents. And I think also having lived through the last 2 years of COVID and really quite tight restrictions that we've had in Melbourne has made me realize what's really important to me. So when I look at my vision board, it's kind of bringing together all of those things and giving me a little bit of focus as to why I'm doing the things that I do.
I agree with you 110%. When I create my vision board, I always revisit it. Number one, it's a work in progress, because sometimes you've got to step back from that vision. Sometimes you're stuck in that vision, and there's obstacles. People don't take into consideration in life when they do this manifestation work that there are going to be obstacles, but those are opportunities to learn and to grow. It's not, oh my God, something bad's happened to me. You know, something bad is going to happen to all of us at one point or another, but it's how you process it. It's how you receive it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I also think sometimes we have quite a long-term vision, and along the way, there's never a straight route towards that vision. You can get off and up and over a mountain and around and all sorts of places. And you sometimes think that maybe that vision isn't where you're going, but you get to it in a very roundabout way, because life throws us curveballs, and what's important is not what the curveballs are, it's how we handle them and how we deal internally with the challenges that are thrown at us, and making sure that we have the equipment to be able to deal with those curveballs instead of finding them as great obstacles.
Mm-hmm. So you shared with me that you had a couple curveballs. You've been married 3 times, and bravo. I have no problem with that. You know what? Because I find you, quite saucy. You've had 3 suitors. Some women can't get one man to ask them to marry them. But as you really, but as you have learned and went through these ebbs and flows, how do you feel about love at this point in your life? You know, it sometimes when people get, married again, it's for different reasons. I don't know what your reasons are, but sometimes it's for security. Sometimes because they're lonely. Sometimes because they're horny. or sometimes it's financial. But what do you think about love at this particular point in your life?
Well, when my last relationship ended, I decided I was going to stay single forever, because I just wanted so much of my life to be about what I wanted to achieve. And my previous relationship was quite restrictive, and the person didn't want me to go and do the things that I wanted to do. They wanted me to do what they wanted to do. And so I really decided that was it. I just was going to live my life the way I wanted to live it. And then love came knocking on my door again, and just been wonderful, so I am.
Open the door.
Yeah. So I opened the door, and this man just wants me to be the person I am without trying to change me. And I think for me, each time I got married, I really believed in the sanctity of marriage, and I wanted it to be the person that I would be with forever, but it just didn't work out that way. So I am a true romantic at heart. I believe in love. I just believe that there is good people out there that can make you happy.
There are. And you know what? There are a lot of partners. I have to say partners now, because it's not one way, but there's a lot of partners out there that are willing and wanting you to fly. I know my husband is. I've been married to him 37 years, and he gives me wings to fly, and that's so important. A lot of people could be jealous of their partner, or envious, or controlling, or manipulative, and they do themselves such a disservice. It impacts the children. It impacts the relationship. It's ugly. So you are the mother also of 4. Tell me a little bit about your beautiful children.
Yeah, I'm so lucky that I've got 4 gorgeous children. I have 2 daughters from my second marriage, and my eldest daughter's 23, and she's just become a mortgage broker and joined me in the office, which is fantastic. And my second daughter is 21, and she's in her final year of university doing primary school teaching, which is, she's going to be a fantastic teacher. And then I have 15-year-old twins, boy, girl, and they're just lovely. They're lovely kids, and, we all have challenges, of course, with them, and they push my buttons and try and get away with things, but they are really good kids, and, I just love having them in my life. It's amazing.
So tell me a little bit about your work-life balance, because you do, like you said, have a very big life. You've got the family, you've got the husband, but you've also got freedom and flexibility, and you've been an entrepreneur and had several businesses. Share that with us.
Yeah, so I've been working for myself for 23 years. I started working being a VA, actually, when my eldest daughter was born. And she was born with 4 holes in her heart. So Ooh. I need to be available to take her to and from medical appointments. She had open heart surgery when she was 12 weeks old. Ooh. And so we spent a lot of time in and out of hospitals and a lot of time at specialist appointments. And so being a VA worked really well for me. I could work when I needed to work, and I could work in my own time. So I often would work when my children slept. So when the elder girls were little, they were fantastic sleepers through the day. So they would go down for their afternoon nap for about 2 or 3 hours, and I would put them down and I'd go and do 2 or 3 hours work. And then at night when they went to bed, I would work. So I'd work maybe from 7 p.m. to 1 o'clock in the morning. And that was, you know, I managed to do 6 or 7 hours of work every day. And as time went on, my business evolved. I became involved with a cleaning business and I was really good at it. I guess it wasn't about the cleaning. It was about the administration and the customer service. And I grew a really successful cleaning business. And then about 7 years ago, with the man that I was with, he was a mortgage broker and he suggested that I'd be really good at what he did. And whilst I don't love dealing with the money side of things, but for me, mortgage broking is about relationships. It's working with people and they trust you and they know that you've got their best interests at heart. And it's just a process you go through to find the correct mortgage for them. It's, you don't have to know a lot about finances. You just need to follow a process. So for me, I love working with people. I love that customer service side of things. So it's been wonderful for me to be involved and to have that flexibility of working from home. So for 23 years, I've worked from home. About 10 years ago, I built a purpose-built office out in my garden. So now I can leave the house and work. But I'm also at home if I need to put the washing on the line. If one of the kids is sick, I pick them up from school and they can be at home. And it's been great too, as my parents are both, my dad's 91 and my mum's 86, and they both have Alzheimer's and dementia. So it's been really good for me to be working for myself so that I can be there to take them to appointments and support them too. So, you know, it's that, as you said, it's that real flexibility.
Right. It's that work-life balance. And that's, you know, and that's so important. You speak on customer service. I'm big on customer service. I have been trained by some of the best customer service people in the world. What are 3 key elements that a person or a company should know and utilize about their customers to give them that top-notch customer service?
I think one of the most important thing is to get rid of your ego. It's not about you. It's about them. It's not about how big a sales you can make. It's about what your customer needs from you.
Right.
And about follow-up too. It's
Yeah,
up the phone or sending an email, keeping in touch. You know, with mortgage broking particularly, there can be quite a lot of delays with lenders in assessing information or getting back to you. And it's really important just to keep your client in the loop, to make sure they know that you haven't forgotten them. And, you know, buying a house or refinancing a mortgage can be a really stressful time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, customer service is essential. So, yeah, getting rid of your ego, follow up. And probably the third one is just to book appointments with your clients and put them first and recognize what their needs are.
Well, you know, here's a couple of my suggestions. Number one, brains, I keep it 100 with you. No, the customer is not always right.
True.
Okay? Sometimes they can be a cold piece, okay? But what I want you to consider is flexibility and provide them options. Don't be snarky. If they say something you don't like, just button it up, be quiet, and let them talk. You don't know what their day's been like. You don't know what other stresses is going on in their life. And it could be a deal breaker. So they want to be heard. When I was in customer service, someone will have a complaint. I want to say, okay, well, I hear what you're saying, Sarah. I would repeat back what they said to let them know that I was engaged. And that's very, very important. Sometimes that will diffuse the situation. Okay. And don't leave money on the table. If you have a, you know, mortgage brokering is a little bit different because you're contingent on lenders, but I'm sure that you're providing them a couple different lenders. You're providing them with different rates and different ways of getting the money together and putting the package together. You've got to be aware of those things when you're providing a service, and that's what you're doing. That's what they came to you for, is they want to be, you know, heard. They want responsibility. They want, you know, you to have some responsibility, some buy-in. So the cleaning business. I have a friend here that is a forensic cleanser.
Interesting.
I know. And I mean, she's making a boatload of money. But I don't know if I could go in and clean up after a murder. I don't know. But she, you know, her team is doing it. What is the environment like when it comes to commercial cleaning? A lot of people are concerned about the chemicals that are used. They're worried about the sanitation. They've got their employees coming back into the workplace after COVID. Everybody's looking at each other with a side eye. Do you have a mask? Is this person sneezing? What kind of things do you make your clients feel comfortable with in knowing that this is going to be a safe, sterile environment?
Well, I sold my commercial cleaning business just in the middle of COVID. So I don't actually do any of that sort of cleaning anymore. What I do is work for on a council, local council project where we do street litter collection. So we pick up all the rubbish blown around the streets. So we actually use a natural-based cleaning product, which is actually made from citrus because citrus is such a great cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no real chemical danger in what we do. But our guys are fully protected. They all wear masks and they all wear gloves. They wear the high-grade anti-cut gloves so that if they're dealing with glass or syringes. So I think in the cleaning industry, you know, there's quite a lot of thought being put into the way people are returning to the office with COVID. But as I mean, I've kind of stepped out of that now, so I don't have to really... that from a day-to-day basis.
You know, and Brains, when you go into the office, it's not the responsibility of the cleaning crew. You know, they'll dust off your desk, but can you wipe off your keyboard? I looked at my old coworker's keyboard and oh my God, you would have thought somebody dipped it in mud.
Yeah. And I think we've learned a lot too, you know, when COVID first hit our shores, you know, we all sort of panicked and thought that everything people touched was going to be transmissible for, you know, hours and hours and hours. And what we've learned is that it's a much different virus. It's all airborne and, you know, and I think we've learned to be a little bit less overreactive with the whole situation and take care. And I believe it's people's individual responsibility to take care of themselves. It's not always about management providing everything, you know, be sensible.
Be sensible and be responsible. So sensible and responsible, you are also a money coach.
I am a money coach and I love talking about money to people and helping them get their finances on track.
So give us a couple suggestions on how we can get our money together. My money's coming together pretty nicely and I'm happy. But, you know, really it's about saving a portion, you know, no matter what it is. I know it's difficult. You say, I need to pay my gas bill and I need to borrow $20. I get it. But don't go out and have that $10 cup of coffee. Don't go out here. I went and got a burger and fries. It was $18.
I know.
Everything has went out. Go ahead and prepare food at home. It's just so many little things that you can do. But what are some of the suggestions that you give people to get them on track? Because here we are at the beginning of the year. And we want our money to grow. We want it to blossom.
Absolutely. The most important thing is to take that first step, is to, as you said before, about people being responsible. You know, be responsible for your own journey. No one else is going to be able to get you and your finances on track unless you're responsible for it and prepared to take ownership of it. You know, as you've said, you know, I've been married and divorced 3 times. So I've had that journey of being a single mum. And I've had to make my money stretch a long way with 4 kids. So I've learned a lot about how to manage and how to be responsible and how not to get into debt. So some of the things that I like to teach people is the first thing we do is to understand your numbers. So understand how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. And I always suggest that people keep either use a spending tracker on your phone or go through your bank statements and actually write down everything that you've spent. And that way you can see where you're overspending. As you said, going and buying a cup of coffee instead of having one at home. You know, if you just had your coffee at home instead of buying one out, you would save so much money.
Right.
The other thing that we do is we then look at making a budget. And, you know, people don't like that word budget. They just
It seems so restrictive.
Okay, so here's another word, conscious spending.
Okay.
Let's consciously spend our money or consciously save it. So change the language that you use associated with spending money and saving money. And another thing that I suggest people do, in addition to what was suggested in you know, saving a portion of your money and not going out and having burgers and things like eating out all the time, like the younger generation, particularly my elder daughter's age, they love to eat out. They go out for breakfast every weekend and, you know, avocado on toast, and it's, you know, $20, and then they wonder why they pay for a house. But one of the big things is subscriptions. How many times do you look at your subscriptions on your phone and realize you've got Netflix, you've got Stan, you've got Foxtel, you've got, you know, Prime and all of these.
And, you know, and other things that you have not stopped. You know,
exactly.
You have Prime, you have music that's download, you have downloads of Audible books. And these people are charging you on point. You know, on point every month.
$20 a month, every month. And, you know, before you know it, you've got hundreds of dollars coming out of your bank every month and you're not using any. How many of them do you use? Hardly any of them. So I suggest you just really take a look at those things and be a bit ruthless and say, I don't use that, I don't use that, I don't use that. So it's stopping this wishy-washy, oh, you know, I think I'll keep that because maybe I will listen
that.
Nope. Be strong and cut it out. You know,
then track and see how much you've actually saved. You know, I stopped that. I was one to, okay, well, let's meet at this restaurant, that restaurant. You know what I do with my clients now? Let's meet at the beach. Let's meet at the park. Let's have a bottle of water. Let's have a conversation. Because at the end of the day, it's about business. It's not about food.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was getting in the bad habit of driving. Every time I got in the car, I felt like I needed to drive somewhere to eat. And we went out and got dinner for the holiday the other day. That portion was enough for three meals.
Oh, they're terrible, aren't they?
So then, you know, you got all this extra weight going on. What do you do as a stress reliever, Sarah? Well, not with the kids, not with your spouse, but what do you do for self-love?
So I love to walk. That's my thing. And in COVID, where we actually had a 5-kilometer limit put on us by our premier, the governor of our state, in the main, we had 200 and something days where we were only allowed to go within 5 kilometers of our home. And for me, it was every day I got up and I walked and I walked and I walked. It didn't matter if it was raining, if it was boiling hot. I just walked because I needed to get out of the house because we were in lockdown and I needed to get away from my kids so that I could have a clear mind. So I love to walk and I always have. I love to bushwalk. I love to do adventure trails. And for my 50th birthday, I decided I wanted to go to Machu Picchu and do the Inca Trail.
Oh, wow.
I put it out to my friends and family, and both my sisters, who are younger than me, decided they'd come with me. So in 2015, we went to Peru and we did a 2-week adventure, and we did the four-day hike through the mountains, and it was the most amazing thing. And so I love to challenge myself a little bit like that. But yes, and I live near the beach, so for me, I walk along the beach a lot because I love to be near water and the sounds of the wind and the waves and all of that are really meditative for me. So yeah, they're my things that keep my brain quiet and me focused on, you know, not letting all those thoughts that distract you and weigh you down and make you feel, you know, that you're not achieving things. They wash all that away for me. So, yeah.
What are three things that Sarah cannot live without. I don't want to hear about the kids. We love them, or the spouse. What are three personal things that you can absolutely not live without?
Wow. God, what a question. I think it's got to be the beach. It's got to be books. I love to read. And my phone, unfortunately. My phone. But for lots of reasons, it's for keeping in touch, and it's for music, and it's for audio books, and just a whole lot of reasons. And for my photos, you know, the photos on my phone.
So. I know. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, because I'd love to print photos. I still print photos. You should see my office. Oh, my God. I've got celebrity photos, just stuff all around the walls. But in the phone, I don't know. You have them right there with you, but it's something about a photo album. But things will change. It's like a book. You enjoy books. Audio books, I like. If it depends on what they are. But just to have like a Kindle, I don't enjoy that read. I like the texture. I like the romance of a book. It feels like you're really into it and you get into the characters. That's great. What are some of your favorite foods, Sarah Hudson?
I love food, and I love Melbourne is an amazing place for food. Mm. We just have so many great restaurants, and I think my favorite food is actually Asian food, probably modern Asian food. And we have a fantastic dumpling restaurant near us. So, and they do the most amazing dumpling soup, and my boyfriend and I go there quite often, and we'll have a laksa soup filled with prawn and scallop dumplings. And it's only about $16, and it's so much food. And so we go down there if we don't feel like cooking, and I haven't got the kids, we'll go down there and grab a bowl of soup, and yeah, it just fills you up. It's amazing. So I love that.
I love the herbs and spices in Asian food. It just opens you up. I feel cleansed afterwards, you know? Yeah, I really feel. And the prawns are probably this big in Melbourne, huh?
Yeah, they are, yes. Definitely be my favorite food is any type of Asian food. Beautiful.
So you're a caregiver, and I commend you for that. I just lost my mother, and a couple of days ago I just lost her sister. But I am bent, but I am not broken, because it is a part of the process, and we're all going to get a turn at the wheel. And it's hard looking at your parents, or it's hard looking at a photograph and you seeing people that aren't there. How do you console yourself knowing that this is a part of the transition? Maybe, you know, not necessarily your parents right now, but it could be any of us. You know, I think, heaven forbid, it be a child. It could even be your pet. What do you feel about life and death?
Well, I haven't actually had a lot of death in my life. So I think most of the people I've known to die have been old, so I've been blessed in that regard. I haven't had a lot of sickness, and young people around me pass away. So for me, it is, as you said, it's, you know, it's part of the process. It's, you know, we're all gonna die. That's a given. And so for my parents, they've had fantastic lives. You know, to my dad, he's got to 91, and he brought us to Australia from England when I was just 1 year old, and he decided he was going to make that adventure and move to Australia. And my mum didn't really want to come, but she brought my brother and me as you know, little children, and started a new life in Australia. And I think maybe that's why I've got the adventurous spirit in me as well. And so, you know, my parents have both had amazing lives. So as they enter into that last stage of their lives, and you know, we journey with them and are there for them, I think I'm consoled by the fact that they have lived really amazing lives. And I know
that's so important.
Yeah, and for me, and I know when, you know, my time comes as well, and, you know, God willing and fingers crossed I live for another 30 years, that, you know, I continue to enjoy my life, and I can continue to look after my health so that I can enjoy my life.
I know, that's what I say too. But I'm going to party, okay? Because I'm going to party like every day is the last day. I sure am. What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy would be to help women to be financially secure and to be able to take charge of their money and not be afraid of their future, their financial future, of not being able to cope. I'm a great fan of tiny houses and small living, and my dream would be to create a tiny house village for...
Me too! We need to work on that! That is my dream, is to have a tiny house community. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's just a great need for small living, and, you know, we've stop building these massive great big houses that we can't afford and actually, you know, build community living and look after each other.
Well, those are beautiful. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. You have a online workshop. Tell them a little bit about that and how they can get in contact with you and sign up.
Absolutely. So I run a business called Bounce Back. It's for women to reclaim their financial future. And the web address is bounce-back.com.au. And on that, you will find some free resources that will help you to regain your confidence in managing money. But also, I run a 3-hour introductory practical workshop. It's all done by Zoom, so you can be anywhere in the world. They're run monthly, and I've just released my 6-week online online course, which starts on the 22nd of February, and we're meeting for an hour once a week for 6 weeks. There'll be homework, there'll be hints and tips, there will be practical stuff to teach you to get your life back on track and be financially free in the future.
That's amazing. Brains, female brains, I want you, this is why I go far, wide, and deep into different countries. I want you to understand the perspective of international currency. I want you to understand what other people are doing, how they are investing, what is the hot trends right now, what is on everybody's tongue. You've got to stay on the cutting edge. You've got to be progressive if you are going to survive in this competitive world that we live in. Men are doing it every day. Women, for some reason, I find personally, are afraid of this thing called money. I don't know what epigenetics or generational trauma you've experienced with money, but let me tell you, it feels real good to have some and not be contingent on your partner. Because when you break up with your partner, if you have your own money, honey, letting go ain't no thing. Usually a lot of times women are stuck because they've got to wait on the child support, or they, you know, can't pay the mortgage, or they feel that they don't have any viable skills. They just have not done the deep dive in the research. But there are winners like this one right here. Okay, Sarah Hudson, that has been there, done that, and spending her life, dedicating her life to share this knowledge with you. Go in, have a consultation with her, go and watch her videos. If it resonates with your heart, reach out. She's there. She's like a safety net. She's waiting to catch you. And I'm so glad that she caught us here on the edge. Sarah, you are amazing. Thank you so much. Brains, and do some more homework. That's right. Go back in and visit other shows. We've got over 1,000 shows from women from all around the world. There's some great advice. Men, I've got 14, 15-year-old entrepreneurs. Everybody's out there. They're trying to make it, and I want them to make it with you. Thank you, Sarah, for being here on The Edge. You are beautiful and a rock star.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
All right. Come back and see me. Keep me updated.
I will.